do those things to me. You know, it's just think I've got it put together, and that, you know, really brings me back to Mama Tony. And thank you, Jenna. Thank you, David and Karen. Well, welcome. Thank all of you for coming out today on this beautiful Alaskan Sunday. Our theme for this month has been "As a Man Thinketh." And the idea of this kind of is that our thoughts are creative. And that's really one of the basic things that we teach in the Science of Mind, is that our thoughts are indeed creative. Ernest Holmes said in Science of Mind, "Man's thought merges with the universal subjective mind and becomes the law of his life through the one great law of all life. Each is drawing from life what he thinks into it. To learn how to think is to learn how to live, for our thoughts go into a medium that is infinite in its ability to do and to be. Man, by thinking, can bring into his experience whatsoever he desires. If he thinks correctly, and it becomes a living embodiment of his thoughts." So if we can take this premise that our thoughts are creative, the question then becomes, why isn't everything in all of our lives perfect all of the time? Why don't we have all of the abundance that we want? Why do we have unpleasant circumstances in our lives? And it's really simple. Because we have other thoughts. We have thoughts that are negative in nature, and all thoughts are creative. A couple pages after that first quotation from Holmes, he goes on to say, "Since this is true, it follows that we cannot say that one thought is creative while another is not. We must say that all thought is creative according to the nature, impulse, emotion, or conviction behind the thought." We all have hopes and desires and dreams and aspirations. But then we have these other negative thoughts. "I would love to hike the Camino de Santiago next year, but I'm too old. I would love to get that new promotion and that job, but I don't have the right education. I would love to do this, but..." And we've always got our buts in front of us. And so the title of my talk today is "Get Your Butt Out of the Way." Well, I'm talking about, I don't know what you were thinking, but it's it's these hidden beliefs and limiting beliefs, false beliefs, that are just as creative as the positive ones. We cannot recognize that it is while we are believing that it is not. Hence, it is written, "They entered not in because of unbelief." That was from Hebrews. We may enter in because of our belief, but we cannot enter while there is unbelief. If we say that we can only experience a little good, then we shall experience a little good. But if we say with Emerson, "There is no great and no small to the soul that maketh all," then we may experience a greater good because we have conceived of it. And it's my contention that our limiting beliefs all come from one source, and that is our false sense, and it's a false sense of unworthiness. And I think that a lot of that is our culture. It's part of our culture. It's woven into us at the bottom of our DNA. We derive our own sense of value from what we are able to do. How much money do I earn? How big is my house? How new is my car? What is my job or my rank? How much power do I have? We are not human doings We're human beings, and our value comes from being, not solely in doing. A story comes to mind of a little old lady. It's in a busy parking lot, a mall parking lot, and she has locked her keys in her car, and she is out with a coat hanger. She went into a store and got an old coat hanger, and she's in trying to fish this coat hanger in to get her car, and she finally realizes that this is just getting too much, and she says, "Dear God, please help me with this. I cannot get into this car, and I need your help." And just about then, there's a motorcycle pulls up next to her. And here is this guy on this big motorcycle. Leather vest, you know, with the colors on it. Skull cap. He's got tattoos all over. Big beard. And he says, "What seems to be the problem?" And she says, "I'm sorry, but I've locked my keys in my car." "Oh, I can help." And he gets off his motorcycle, and in 11 seconds, he has her car open. She turns her eyes to the heavens and she says, "Oh, thank you, God, for sending this kind man to help me out and get my car open." Looks over and he says, "I am not a kind man. I just got out of prison for car theft." And she cast her eyes heavenward and she said, "Oh, thank you, God, you even sent a professional." So you see, our biker friend, he wasn't doing, he was just being what he is, a good car thief. In our world today, and it's part of that whole culture of where we have to do, we have to demonstrate our worthiness. We have to demonstrate our worthiness. Unworthiness is assumed until we can demonstrate worthiness. But don't you see, that is a giant catch-22. That's a giant conundrum. We can never get there. We can never demonstrate our worthiness when we have a belief in our own unworthiness. We can never demonstrate that, so we can never become worthy in our own minds. When the truth of the matter is that you cannot be unworthy. One of our songs talked about the sun. And what a great example. What if our glorious sun thought that it had to prove its own worth? What if our sun was up there thinking, "Oh man, I'm this little yellow dwarf, and there's all of these big suns out there, and they're way brighter than I am, and they've got all these really great stars around them and stuff, and I've just got these 8 little ones, and you know, I'm really kind of a crappy sun, and I'm not worthy." But it wouldn't make any difference, because that light is still going to be coming to us. It's still going to nourish us. It's still going to make us warm. It's still going to grow our crops. It's still going to melt the snow. That sun is still there, and that sun is worthy regardless of what it thinks about itself. And we're just like that sun. Christina, what is this?
It's a $20 bill.
Okay. I'm going to give this away today. Who would like to have this $20 bill? If you'd like to have it, raise your hand. Okay, there's quite a few hands. Some people would like it. Yeah, not everybody, but some would like to have it. Okay. Well, I wad it all up. Okay. Now who wants it? Oh, there's still a lot of people that want it. Okay, well, now let's take it. Now who wants it? Well, look at that. The same number of people still want it. You know what? You're just like that $20 bill. And like most of us, your life, we've been stomped on, we've been wadded up, thrown down, kicked around, but you're still a $20 bill, and you're still worth $20.
Ha, 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 ha.
Remember that you are a divine expression of God here and now, and you are perfect exactly as you are. All of the things that we do to say that we are less than are our own judgments. They're the things that we put upon ourselves. Because divine expression has you perfect as you are. You are an individualized, perfect expression of God. And do you think that God makes mistakes? Do you think He was having a bad day when you were created? There's, oh, oops. You're not an oops. I don't know where that came from. That wasn't even in this talk. All life is divine and worthy of dignity and respect, but you've got to see it in yourself first. You cannot recognize the divinity and the glory of each other until you can see it in yourself. So the next thing is how do we go about applying this? And, you know, this is a great philosophy, and I think my job is to try and take all of these wonderful principles and drill them down to where we can figure out how to use them. Once again, going back to Ernest Holmes, to reduce this proposition to the practical life of the individual, our belief is that anything that the mind thinks, it can unthink. If, therefore, by the law of cause and effect, we have produced unpleasant conditions, we should be able, by this same law, to produce an entirely different effect. Pretty simple, but it's not always really easy to implement it. Not long ago, I had a great conversation with a lady, and she said, you know, I have been in this teaching for many, many years, but sometimes I don't think I still get it right all the time. She says, it's like reading about swimming versus jumping in the pool. And after that meeting, I started thinking, and that's so right, because we do. We have all these great things, and we go to classes, and we do all these things. But what it really gets down to is, how do we apply it? How do we do this day after day after day in all that we do? I think it's pretty easy, and I love that analogy of jumping into the pool. Well, if you're afraid of jumping into the pool, you don't jump into the deep end. Jump into the shallow end. So what's going to come next? This isn't from Ernest Holmes or any of the great presenters that we have or any of the things that we do. This is just Don's homespun advice. And so take it for what it's worth. But don't jump into the deep end. Jump into the shallow end to start with. And I'm going to use an example. Let's say at your job that you want a raise. Well, jumping into the deep end would be to walk into the boss's office and say, I demand a raise right here, right now. You know, that's probably not going to work. So let's jump into the shallow end first. So what we do is we begin by check yourself. Sit down and imagine what is the absolute worst thing that could happen when I go in and ask for a raise. Well, let's see, the boss laughs at me. And number two, the boss gets mad at me. And he really chews me out. And maybe the worst of all, he fires me on the spot. And we just step back and think, how likely is that to really happen? Let's think about that. Is the boss going to start laughing at me and hit the intercom and announce over the whole, look at that, Don came in and asked for a raise, what a hoot! That's probably not going to happen. And you know that you're a valuable member of the team. Do you think that he is going to fire you on the spot? Do you think that he's going to get mad and chew you out? You know, probably not. You know, on the scale of possibility and probability, this is, you know, any of those really negative outcomes that you're afraid of are way down there on the bottom. They may be possible, but they're not very, very likely. So that puts us in a different frame. That allows us then to say, you know, the worst is likely not to happen. So then what can we do? So what we do is the second shift is we shift our BS, belief system. We visualize something more in the middle. We visualize ourselves going into the boss's office and saying, I feel that I've made some valuable contributions in the last year, and I would like to ask for a raise. And in this, then, we visualize something in the middle ground, something that we can really get our arms around. The boss says, okay, well, we really don't have it in the budget right now, but I'll think about it. Well, that's not the outcome that we want, but that's something that we can believe in. We can get that but out of the way, and we can put it something that we can really believe in. It's not our outcome, but we can grab it. So then we move on to the next step, and that's when we visualize what it is we want. Now, it's careful to do to make it realistic. We can visualize ourselves walking into the boss's office and giving a good accounting of our accomplishments and our achievements and how we're so important to the organization, and factually stating our desire for an increase in pay. And then we can visualize the boss saying, well, that's reasonable. And I do believe you are an exceptionally valuable member of our team. And no, it's not in the budget, but I think that I can scrounge around and find some ways that we can maybe get that money from some different places. And I think you can expect that raise in the paycheck after next. And you can visualize that, but you don't want to go too far. I mean, you don't want to visualize yourself as 4 inches taller than you are and 20 pounds lighter and a head full of hair. And suave, and you can visualize yourself in, you know, your normal clothes, your best clean clothes, the best you can put in, and you really visualize yourself in that situation and you embrace it. And in that the boss then agrees with you and awards you the raise. I see Zoe had her baby. Yes. Congratulations. And I think we'll... We are so blessed, and we're about ready to be blessed again. What a trooper. Jenna is due any moment. I asked her this morning, and she said, well, I'd either be here or at home. I've got to be somewhere. Thank you all, and congratulations. Our community is growing one small step at a time. Conclusion. What the takeaway for today is, number one, our thoughts are creative, and we can change them. Number two, we are unaware of some of our thoughts and beliefs, but we can change those as well. We can gauge that by the outcomes. And lastly, we are all worthy of all of the good that life has to offer.